mine's away.
Five. Okay.
Kofi Salad Nissen, Monday the 29th of April, Rabbi Dov Birnbaum. Kashering ovens. No.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you once again to Rav Dudi for the opportunity and the organizers, the opportunity to speak again at Start Your Day the Torah Way. So I mentioned to a friend of mine that I was going to speak about kashering ovens, and he said to me, "You're too late. Pesach's already finished." So I think that the answer to that is that speaking about it before Pesach is always very difficult. Nobody has any time, any yeshiva das. People often ask a shayla, and it's a quick yes or no answer. Now we have a little bit more time. We can open up the sugya a little bit, understand some of the issues which are involved. I'm going to just say right from the beginning that obviously in terms of a psak, a person needs to ask their own rav, family should have their own rav that they should ask the psak to. As we'll see, there are various different reasons for both sides. The purpose is just literally to learn together, learn the sugya, we'll understand some of the issues. We are speaking about kashering ovens from treif, from not kosher, or from chometz. With regards to kashering from meat and milk, if we have time, we'll mention that at the end. But those halachas are a little bit more lenient. But we'll maybe discuss that in the end if there's time. So the first thing is, what method of kashering needs to be used? We know there's a number of different ways of kashering, which are brought in the Mishnah, the very first source. Here, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara says, Halokeach, Mishnah, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah in Heimud Beis, Halokeach, Kaitash, Mishmin, Ode, Kechovim, someone who buys utensils from a guy, Dvarim Shalom, Nishdamish, Bahen, Bechamin, Matbilim, if he didn't use them, Matbilim, he didn't use them at all, you could just be Tovel them. Dvarim Shalom, Nishdamish, Ben Ali, Deit Sone, if he used them for cold, Kegon Kosas, for Kitonius, for Slochius, like cups and jugs and plates, Medichon, Matbilon, Vein Tahirim, all you have to do is rinse them off and then tovel them and they're Tahor. Dvarim Shenishtamish by an Ali de Chamin, if you use them for hot, Kegon Ayores, Akumkumusim, Chami Chamin, such as pots and kettles and things like that, Mag Elon, Umatbilon, Vein Tahirim. Here you need to do Hagola. Hagola with boiling hot water, put it in or heat up the water inside of it either way, and then also be tovel because we're buying it from Goyim, and then they're Tahor. Things which they used on the fire, directly on the fire, could go in ashfudin v'ha'askalois, like a spit, and an askalos, another type of kli which was used, utensil which is used on, to cook on the fire. Melabnon umatbilon v'hein tahorin. Then they require libun. It's not good enough to do hagola, they require libun. Libun means to heat them up without any water at all. And then they are tahor. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Lamed, summarizes the principle which is brought here as Kabola Kachpolto, a well-known principle, the way that the taste was absorbed, the treif taste in this case was absorbed, that is the way it will come out. So therefore, something went in, if it was just cold, then it wasn't absorbed at all, then all you have to do is wash it. If it goes in with liquid, with water, then it needs to be kashered with liquid, with water. If it goes in with dry heat, such as a grill or a spit, or nowadays in modern terminology, an oven, a George Foreman grill, a Shabbos hot plate, all of these things where you don't use any water to cook on them, and something goes in, some taste, non-kosher taste, let's say, or even basar b'cholov taste, would be absorbed into them, then the way that you need to kasher them would be called libun. That's what the Gemara says, that's what the Brisa says. How hot does libun have to be? How hot is libun? So the Beis Yosef here brings two makaris. One is a makar from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, ad shetosik li poson, which means they have to be hot enough that you remove the outer layer of the metal, which is pretty hot. It literally disintegrates, the outer layer disintegrates, and the Yerushalmi brings the end of Avodah Zarah says, halibun sorech sheyu nitzotzes min natazin mimenu. The libun has to make sparks fly off the material, which is also pretty hot. I'm told apparently that nowadays with metal, it's almost impossible to have sparks flying off it. In the old days, the way that their metal was made, it wasn't made as well as ours. They used to have sparks flying off it. But nowadays, the post can say till it's red hot, 500 degrees there or thereabout. This is paskind in the Shulchan Aruch as well. Simon Tofnan Aleph, you've got it on the sheet. Kalim Shemishdamshim Ben Alidei Ha'or. Kalim which are used Alidei Ha'or on the fire. Kigon Shvudim Vatskalodos Vakaritzuim, such as a spit. And similar, Tsrichim Libun, they need Libun. Vaha Libun Hu Achiyu Nitzotzes Nitzazin Mehem. And Libun means that it gets hot enough until there are sparks that fly off it. So very clear from the halacha, from the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, that Liban has to be as hot enough that sparks will fly off it, let's say till it's red hot, 500 degrees centigrade or so. Now, if you have a pyrolytic oven, then this is possible to do, this is very simple to do. You can just turn on the pyrolytic setting, and then it will get hot enough that it will be 500 degrees, and that will accomplish Liban, and that is absolutely fine, that's wonderful. However, in a normal oven, it will not reach higher than 200 degrees or so. If you have a blowtorch and want to try doing that, then that's one option. And it is very difficult to do. I would only recommend a professional doing it because there are some parts of the oven which will break with a blowtorch. And if we think about other things such as a Shabbos hot plate or a George Foreman grill or various other utensils like that, those, if you use the blowtorch on them, will almost definitely break as well. So how are we going to be able to kasher all of these utensils that we have nowadays, which won't reach 500 degrees, can't reach 500 degrees, is there any way in which we can kasher them if they become treif, or bosa b'cholov, or falls on them? So, there are some poskim that suggest maybe we can apply the principle here of kabolo kach polto, as we said before, the general principle in all kashering, in the same way that it went in, that's also how it can go out. So therefore, let's say my oven only reaches 200 degrees, my George Foreman grill only reaches 150 degrees, whatever it might be. So at the temperature at which the food went in, the taste went in, that is the same way that it will go out. So all I have to do is turn it on to its fullest, leave it there till it heats up properly, and then that will be enough to expel the taste. That will be enough to expel the taste. In the time of the Gemara, they were discussing things which got very, very hot. Their ovens were literally they had coal there. If anyone's ever been to a matzah bakery, have you ever seen how they kasher the oven in a matzah bakery? So there, we used to go in Yerushalayim, and every time, in between each chabura, obviously no matzah chabura, trust the previous matzah chabura, the kasherist understands, so you have to kasher the oven in between. So what they do is they take literally boiling hot coals, rake them on the surface where you cook the matzah, on the stone surface, and that's the best way of kashering it, literally boiling hot coals, and that kashers it. Pardon? Boiling hot coals from the side of the oven, and they kasher the surface. But nowadays, when we're not dealing with ovens like they were in the time of the Gemara, so therefore, maybe kabolo kach polto, we turn up the oven to the highest temperature, or the George Foreman grill, or whatever it might be, or the Shabbos hot plate even, to the highest temperature that it can possibly get to, and then maybe that will be enough to kasher it. Now, the only place, as long as it takes till it gets to its maximum heat, till we can be sure that it gets to its maximum heat. I think the article will say for say about an hour with an oven. It depends on the oven, you know, it depends on the appliance, that sort of thing. Just as long as we can be sure it's at its maximum heat. Now, the only place that I've ever seen this, actually written down, is Rav Ida and his Hilchas Pesach Sefer brings a footnote that he heard a shmua from Rav Aaron Kotler that we could apply kabolo kach polto in this way. That's what he seems to say. Now, it's a very, very interesting shaila whether we can say this or not about Liban. All we have in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch is until sparks fly off. We don't have a makar. Nowhere in the Gemara does it tell us that we can say that Liban would work at a lower temperature than that. So it's actually a machlokas rishonim, I believe, that this would be dependent on, which you've got at the bottom of your sheet. How does Liban work? So the Rishonim here are discussing a slightly different case. They are discussing something which became treif. For example, half of a spoon was inserted into something treif. You have a chicken soup which is treif, not kosher, and half a ladle is inserted into the chicken soup. And now the shaila is, how much of the ladle do I need to kasher? Do I need to kasher the whole ladle? Because we'll say, Cham miktsoso cham kulo, like the Gemara says in Psochim, that half of the thing becomes hot, then the whole thing becomes hot, and the taste will travel all the way through. So do I need to say that I'm going to kasher the whole entire ladle now? Or no, maybe it's sufficient just to kasher the bottom half, because the taste went in from the bottom half. We have a principle of kabolo kach polto, in the same way that the taste is absorbed, that's the way it goes out. So if it's absorbed with the bottom half, then maybe it's just sufficient to kasher the bottom half of my kli, of my utensil. The same shaila with libun as well. If you have something which was used, you have something which is a large kli, and you used part of the kli, let's say your barbecue grill, and you only used half of the grill, by accident was used for treif, or milk fell on the meaty grill, or whatever it was, Do I need to kasher the entire grill with libun? Do I need to now do libun on the whole grill? Or do we say, no, kabolo kach polto, in the same way that it went in through that half which was used with treif. So all I need to do is I need to do libun on that part of the grill, and then that will expel everything in exactly the same way that it went in. So this is a machlokas rishonim. When in the sugyas of Issa v'Heta, the sugyas of kashrus, there's a sefer called the Torah Habayis, written by the Rashba. And the Torah Habayis has a commentary written on it by the Ra'ah, another one of the Rishonim, called the Bedek Habayis, or the cracks in the house, really. So what he does is he argues with lots of things that the Rashba said, and then the Rashba wrote a commentary on that called the Mishmeres Habayis, where he defends himself. So it's a fascinating sefer because you end up with literally hearing the machlokas in between them, that you can see these Rishonim sort of arguing amongst themselves. So the Bedek Habayis says the following thing. This is the Ra'ah. And he says the following thing. You have it on the sheet, the second paragraph from the bottom. He says here, he's talking about a different type of libun, which is actually putting a kli back in the fire. This is the best way. Works even with kli cheres, if you can put it back into the furnace where it was originally made. Putting a kli back and heating up a kli, this type of libun of a kli is not like hagola. It's not the same type of heksha as hagola of putting kli in the boiling water. Tahosam lahaflit mashabola. Because there it is expelling the taste. When you do hagola, as we all know, the way hagola works is it expels the taste which it absorbed. Aval libun, but libun, b'shum makom eino maflit kol isu shaboy. Libun never expels all of the taste. However, all libun does is it destroys, it burns the issa which is inside of it. That's why it works to be machshe, to kasher the kli. And the nafkamina is, if you have a shvud which is mateches, which is metal, where we say that when a one half gets hot, the rest of it gets hot, and you used it for treif, part of it for treif. Hare kulo ne'esar, the whole thing is forbidden. Ki'ilu nishtamish for kulo, as if you used the whole thing. Now when you want to do libun on it, it's not good enough just to do libun on the part that was used, the isur with the treif. Lefisha ein ha'libun maflit b'lo'oi. Because libun is not going to expel the taste, it's going to destroy and burn up the taste. Says the Ra'ah, there's a very big difference between hagola and libun. Fundamental difference. Hagola expels taste. That's what the Gemara in Pesachim is talking about when we say kabolo, kach, polto. In the same way the taste goes in, it's also expelled. And that's why within Hagola there are the differences. For example, if the taste goes in with pouring, with irui, then I can do Hagola with irui. And if the taste goes in with a klisheni, then at least meikar adin, you could do Hagola with a klisheni. That's all within Hagola because we're expelling the taste. However, says the Ra'ah, when it comes to libun, when it comes to burning, then that only works by burning and destroying the taste which is inside it. It doesn't expel the taste. And therefore, he says, the nafka mina is that this shafud, a spit or a grill, which became treif only because part of it was used with issa, then libun on part of it won't work on the whole thing because it won't expel all of the taste in the same way that it went in, because libun doesn't expel taste at all. All libun does is it burns up the taste. And therefore, if I did libun just on one part, it will burn up the taste on that one part, but it won't burn up the taste everywhere else. So therefore, he says, I need to do libun on the entire kli.
Is that the same with
the
taste on it? They burn up the taste further up, the taste no travel up.
No, so we say the klal is that cham miktosa cham kula. The taste travels up because when part of the kli is hot, then the entire kli becomes hot, and the taste travels up the entire kli. If it's metal. So metal, because it conducts heat, so we say that it travels up the entire kli. Now the question is, how do we get it out? Right?
Same with if the ladle was used with the treif in the soup.
No, so he says, with Hagola, because Hagola is maflit, Hagola expels the taste, so therefore Hagola we can say, in the same way that it went in, kabola kach polto. So if the ladle was only used with half of the soup, half of the ladle went in. So therefore, if I kasher the bottom half, it will expel all of the taste that went in through the bottom half. It will come out again through the bottom half. Correct. Correct. And when it's kasher, it's also cham kilo.
You also have even from the dark part, which is not.
Yes.
That's
yes.
No.
The halacha is the chatchil, you should do the whole thing. Yeah. Don't worry. We'll get there. There's the Rashba. There's still the Rashba who argues it. Yeah. Now, at least the chatchil, but the evid is the halacha. But the evid, if you only kashered half the kli. So, that's the Ra'ah's opinion, that this cham miktasa, that this kashering part of a kli will only work with hagala, which expels taste. It won't work with libun, because libun burns up the taste. Comes along the Rashba, and the Rashba says, they got at the bottom source, the Mishmeres Habayis, he says, lo doc, he wasn't careful in his words, v'gan devor of nirin kasosu and zezer, they also seem to be contradicting. Omer de b'hagala, dailo b'hagala, usa miktas, shinish damish boy, he says, with Hagola, it's enough to do Hagola just on the part of the Kli that you use. The Klal Godol Amar B'chulin, we said a Klal Godol Dukabolo Kach Palto, in the same way that it tastes is absorbed, that's also how it's expelled. V'im Kein, and if so, Ath Onu Noimar, we can also say the same thing, but Kli Shet Solabo Isser, with a Kli that you roasted something treif, Im Libein Osa Miktas, if you did Libun on that part of the Kli, Nichshar kulo, then the whole kli will become kosher, the kabolo kach polto, because in the same way the taste goes in, that's also the way it comes out. Says the Rashba, I don't agree with this chiluk, this distinction that the Ra'ah is making, and he says in exactly the same way with Hagola, we can apply kabolo kach polto, or we can say if you use part of the kli, then the rest of it, then it will kasher the whole kli. If you kasher part of the kli, then you can kasher the whole kli. So similarly with Libun as well, in the same way the taste went in, because part of the grill, part of the spit was used, so similarly if I do Libun on that part, then the taste will come out from the entire thing. So we come out with a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ra'ah as to how Libun works. I should point out that according to the Rashba, at the end of the day, he says it would work in principle, but in practice, he says it doesn't work. In most cases, definitely with treif and with chometz and that sort of thing, the Rashba definitely says that you do have to be tovel the whole kli, and that is at least the chatchila, the way that the Ramal paskins in Tofnun Aleph as well, to kasha the whole kli. However, what we do have is a machlokas rishonim as to how Libun works. According to the Ra'ah, Libun burns up the taste, and according to the Rashba, Libun expels the taste in exactly the same way as Hagala. It's just a different method of expelling taste. And they say that there's enough given for that, whether you can kasha, whether you can do Libun on part of a kli, will it work to expel all of the taste from the whole kli, or it will only work on that one section. Now, lechora, another nafkamina from this will be our shaila. Our shaila is it good enough to heat up a kli to the temperature at which the food, the taste, was absorbed? So if we say, like the Ra'ah, that Libun is all about burning up the food that was inside, the taste that's inside the kli, then lechora, then there's an objective temperature at which the kli will get burnt up. So when the Gemara says, ad shiun nitzotzos nitzazim mimenu, then it means that we have to have that temperature, 500 degrees, red hot, whatever it is, and if it doesn't get to that temperature, then the food inside won't be burnt up. However, if we say, like the Rashba, that all Libun is doing is plita, is it's expelling the taste, then nechora, we can apply the principle, as he does in his case, of kabolo kach polto, and we can say that the same temperature at which the food was absorbed, that is also the temperature at which the taste will come out.
I think the machlokes is not if you boulder polto, you know, but if you used only a part of the ladle, mm-hmm. if it's going through or not, that's the machlokes.
No, both of them agree. Both of them agree. There is another machlokes about that. The Shach brings a third day, and he says that the taste doesn't even go beyond the part that you used at all. But here, both of the Rishonim and the Rashba are both agreeing that the taste goes up to the whole ladle, or to the whole spit. The only shaila is, how much of it do you need to be machshe?
Oh, that's if you bought the body, means to say it goes through the same way.
Yeah, if according to both of them, it goes in all the way through to the kli. And the shaila now is, when I machshe half of it, will it bring out all of the taste, or will it only bring out the taste on that very small part of the kli which I machshe?
If you
But everyone here, everyone is there, both agreeing that it goes throughout the kli. There is another day, there's a third day who says that it doesn't go out, it doesn't go go all the way through the kli as well.
The Rashi book. Sufik with it goes up, and because of the sufik you have to mach, it's not making that it's sure that it's gone up. You say you learn that it's questionable, maybe it went up further, but not that it definitely went up further.
Could the halacha, because there's a machlokas rishonim about how to understand chamik tzos or chamik kolot. Yeah, the halacha. But for le'inyoneinu, there's a clear machlokas rishonim in how libun works.
What does the Rashba do with the Gemara's definition of libun that netzotzes are sparking out? Because he's making an akimta that it only became trefa in that way when it was so hot that there were sparks flying.
Right, lechayra. So
according to the Rashba, you have to say that.
Right, lechayra. Yeah. First, I should.
That's not a normal way of things becoming treif.
Right, and well, so firstly, the Rashba doesn't mention the idea of doing libun at a lower temperature. I'm making that sushta. Right, I'm making that sushta that the Rashba, who holds kabbalah kapalto, lechayra, we could say that it would be good enough. So he himself doesn't discuss that. Lechayra, though, the pshat in the Gemara would be, according to what I'm saying, that was the normal temperature at which they cooked. If you think about an oven which is fired by coal, so therefore it is very possible that it's going to get to a boiling hot temperature. It's very, very shy, but that's the temperature we'll be at. It's only nowadays when we're cooking with electricity, and therefore we have things which are a lot lower, therefore we have the temperatures which are a lot lower, then nowadays we're dealing with temperatures of much lower thing. But in the old days, they were literally cooking with ash, cooking with fire, so therefore that was the normal temperature. And that's why the Gemara brings that, and so the Shulchan Aruch brings that temperature. There is a nidin, we're not going to be able to go into all of it now, but there's a nidin as to how we paskin in terms of this shaila. There's a nidin in terms of how we paskin. A number of Acharonim do bring the Rashbon, the idea of doing libun on part of a kli. The Prima Godin brings it, the Chok Yaakov, the Pri Chodosh. There's a number of Acharonim who do say that you can do libun only on part of a kli. However, the Shach brings the Ra'ah, the Shach brings the Ra'ah, who says that Liban is only about burning up the taste which is absorbed, it's not about expelling, and therefore the Shach says that with Liban you definitely have to do Liban on the entire Kli. The Shach says you definitely have to do Liban on the entire Kli, so therefore it's not Pashat at all. How does the Mishnah Berurah Paskin is subject to a little bit of a dispute? I've brought the Mishnah Berurah and Rav Moshe Feinstein, what he says about that at the top, we're not going to be able to go through it, but suffice to say that Rav Moshe Feinstein also says that Liban only burns up the taste, and it doesn't actually expel the taste. And the Rav Moshe says that that's shut in the Mishnah Berurah as well. If you have time, then please do take a look at it yourselves. So we have the Chai Odom says that as well. We have a number of Choshva Achronim who say that Liban is so rave, Liban burns up the taste, and it doesn't expel the taste. And therefore, we're going to have to look for another solution to rely upon, at least the Chatchila, in a Lechatchila case, to rely upon if we want to be able to use to kasha ovens, because to rely just upon the shita that says that Liban is plita, is expelling, and kabbalah kachpolta is difficult, a number of Acharonim do paskin like the Ra'ah, that it's soriv, that it burns up. So let's have a look. An alternative solution. This is presented by Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Mincha Shlomo. It's also brought down in Rav Ida's Sefer as well, and a number of other modern day Sforim as well. He begins with another problem. He says, with all kashering all ovens, there's another problem as well. The Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Hai buchya heseikum mibachutz hu ve'osur. A buchya was a type of oven, and they used to light the fire on the outside of this oven, and therefore, says the Gemara, it's osur, the kashering that you do on the outside of the oven, lighting the fire, putting the coals on the outside of the oven. Remember, this was a kli cheres they were discussing. Putting the coals on the outside, lighting the fire on the outside, won't help to kasha the inside, which is where the food is cooked. The manya gumri shapidamik, but if you take it and you fill it with coals, then that's fine. Then that definitely kashas it. Says from Shlomo Zalman, if you think about our ovens nowadays, where is the heating element? Where is the coal in our oven nowadays? Normally, on the outside. Normally on the outside. The heating element. Now, if you look in a pyrolytic oven, I'm told that usually pyrolytic ovens, the heating element is on the inside. You can actually see it. But very often with normal ovens, maybe depending on the brand, the heating element is on the outside. And what it does is it heats up the wall, and therefore then that heats up the food. So therefore, says from Shlomo Zalman, if the Gemara says, Heseko mibachutz, and this is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch as well, to do Liban on the outside if you have your coals and your heating source on the outside, then it doesn't work for the inside. And says Rav Shlomo Zalman that in the same way, the Gemara which is talking about Kli Cheres, says Rav Shlomo Zalman in the same way with the Kli Mateches as well, even though our ovens are metal, there are Cholkim on that, there are people that say, there are poskim he brings that say that metal is different, but he says no, even if it's a Kli which is Mateches, which is metal, if you do the Liban on the wrong side, if you do it on the outside, then that doesn't help. The food, the taste of the food went in on the inside of the oven, right? That's where the food taste would have gone into the metal. And now you're doing Liban on the outside. He says, that's no good. That's Liban, Mebachot. You're doing Liban from the wrong side. So he's not happy with this whole idea of doing Liban. Even if we would say the temperature is good enough, he's not happy with the idea of doing Liban at all. Then he says something very, very simple, which solves the problem. I've got it here in bold. Here. The cave and chicane. at the bottom paragraph. Bram Nire, he says, however, it appears, Dim Ose Tavnios Chadoshos, Ef Shadukuli Alma Shapa Mahani Hahesek Shemibachutz. However, he says, if the trays and the racks that you're using in the oven are new ones, we'll see why he says that, then the Hesek, the lighting of the oven, the turning on the oven, even though it's on the outside, will work. Because in this case, if you've got new trays, then the only problem that could have happened, the only potential problem you have to worry about with the oven is because of zeya, because of steam. And for this, you don't need liban at all. V'shapir sagi v'hagola, and therefore hagola is sufficient. Let's go back to the drawing board, he says. We started off by assuming that in an oven where you're cooking dry foods, so therefore the type of kashering that we will need is liban, because that's what the Gemara says. If you're not cooking liquids, you're cooking dry foods, you need liban. However, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, let's think a second. In this case of an oven, your food is not sitting on top of your oven. Nobody, normally, people don't, at least nowadays, don't cook things on their oven surface. You cook something in a tray. Maybe on the racks, possibly, which is why he says to change the racks. But definitely, you're not cooking on the surface of the oven itself. So how did the taste reach the surface of the oven, the walls and the floor? How did it reach the oven surface by something called zeya, something called steam? Steam happens. Whenever you have a liquid food, as he brings the base mayor, dafka, a liquid food, not a solid. When you have a liquid food, then steam comes off it. That steam will carry some of the tam, some of the taste of the food, and that will be absorbed into the walls of your oven. So if the only way that it became treif in the first place, or that chometz taste went in the first place, is only with zeya, and zeya is only produced with a liquid, so then you don't need liban to begin with. Then all you need is hagola. Now, how do I achieve hagola? I'm not going to put my oven in water. So you can achieve hagola, say the Acharonim, this is Rabbi Kileg, as he brings, and Taz, and Morgan Avram, you can achieve hagola by heating it up to Yad Soledes. How hot is Yad Soledes? 75, maximum 75, 80 degrees. Very, very easy to get that temperature in an oven. There are sometimes spills, that's true. It's another point to be taken into account. So either he's relying upon the fact that you can use Rove Tashmisho, the majority of times that the taste has gone in, it's only gone in through Zeya. And the other point is that even if something did spill, how is that taste then going to get back into your food? If something spilled and now it's clean, then there's nothing which will bring that taste back into the food.
Let's make sure that if anything did spill again, you would never use what spilled on the
correct, yeah. You definitely shouldn't use something which spilled onto the surface of the oven in case something spilled before. So then, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, the whole sugya is, of the oven is nothing to do with liban at all. His chiddush is that it's not to do with liban at all. The whole sugya is only a sugya of hagola, really. Since it's a sugya of hagola, therefore he says it's good enough to heat it up until it gets to Yad Soledes bo, and therefore this would be a smach for those people who rely upon the fact that you can kasher the oven by heating it up to the highest temperature. Then this is the way that you are accomplishing it. Just to very quickly summarize, and maybe there'll be time for questions at the end because we have to finish. We said at the beginning, we started off, there's different types of kashering. There's liban for things which are dry heat, and there's hagola for things which go in with liquid heat. We began by discussing whether there is any reason, any way to be makel just by heating it up to the temperature at which its highest temperature of the oven or whatever the utensil's highest temperature. And we said this Toliyon Machlokas Rishonim, and according to the Rashba, it possibly could work. According to the Ra'ah, he says that Liban is so rave, so therefore you need the temperature of 500 degrees or so at which sparks will fly up, it becomes red hot. So therefore, we brought Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he says that the whole case of the oven anyway, the taste doesn't go in with dry heat, it only goes into the oven with zeah, with steam, which comes from liquid, and therefore you don't need liban at all, and therefore it would be good enough to have the heat of Yad Soledes, which would accomplish the same thing as Hagala. Once again, each person for their own individual pasak. There are other issues as well, we haven't had time to go into all of the issues, and therefore each person should ask the Rav for their own individual pasak.